thank the Lord for saving me and being so good to me. The other night at work, I had found a dollar bill, and it was taped up, and it looked like it had been ran through the wash, and I wanted to trade it in, but I wanted to keep it as a reminder that even though I look like that, the Lord still wanted me. Condemned I stood before the throne as the accuser reads every wrong I'd ever done. I knew there was no way that I could ever pay the price that needed to be paid. As I turn to the Father, I see the Son who was offered, and then I hear Him say, He's enough. Cries our Lord, the mighty judge, the price was paid, the deal is done, for He's enough. God the Father, He looked down, saw the Son's blood on the ground. Sin no longer has me bound, for He's enough. And since that day, I can't forget everything He's done for me. He's been more to me than I ever dreamed, and faithful He will ever be. No matter what this world may offer, through the scorners and the scoffers, I know and I believe He's enough. Cries my heart in joy and love, for I've received His precious blood, and that's enough. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I was lost, but now I'm found. Sin no longer has me bound, for He's enough. When the doubts come flooding in, Christ reminds me once again, since the Father satisfied, then so am I. He's enough. Cries our Lord, the mighty judge, the price was paid, the deal is done, for He's enough. God the Father, He looked down, saw the Son's blood on the ground. Sin set free who sin has bound, for He's enough.
Amen. Praise the Lord. That's good.
It's team tonight and help the preaching.
I'll thank the Lord for what he's done for me. I'm so grateful. Hey, thank you, Minogue. I keep thinking of what Jesus was saying when he's preaching on there tonight about your resource. You know, that's who I go to. And I'm thankful that I'm called to go to.
Amen.
I thank the Lord that he saved me too.
Hey, praise the Lord.
And, yes, sir. I'm thankful that God's done what he's done for me and my family. And all you can say is it's because of Calvary.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And we'll try to do this. I mess it up about every time we try it, but it'll be okay.
I was alone in the dark till Jesus found me. Lost in sin, far from him, but thanks to Calvary, he heard my cry, and the blood was applied. He signed my pardon, he set me free.
Thanks to Calvary, I will never walk alone. Thanks to Calvary, Jesus bought me for his own. Thanks to Calvary, now heaven is my home.
The joy that's found in Jesus makes my life complete.
Thanks to Calvary. Everything. Now I gladly owe him as for his own. Thanks to Calvary. Now heaven is my home.
The joy that's found in Jesus makes my life complete.
Thanks to Calvary.
Thanks to Calvary.
Hey.
Brother Kevin, I'm just thankful for Jesus' obedience.
Hey.
That he was willing to come and do what the Father asked him to do. And to put himself, I think about what it must have been like to be the God that created everything. And he put himself inside that little old baby. And grew up just like we grew up. And what that must have been like for him, I can't imagine. And then knowing what was coming and dying on the cross for us. I just thank you.
Hey.
Bibles, let's open up the book of Exodus. Book of Exodus. And I'm going to try to do the best I can to mind the Lord. You pray for us tonight. I've studied for several weeks on a different passage, and felt like really impressed of the Lord. And so we'll just preach and try to do the best I can to try to mind the Lord. And here's what I found is that whenever the Holy Ghost starts to impress something on you, you probably just ought to go with Him. That's what I figured. I don't know much. I'm still just trying to follow. That's the only thing I know to do is just try to follow the Lord the best we can. And I standing there and listen. I'm not trying to. I don't study my Bible. I study my Bible all the time, or I try to. But I've not studied this passage. But you pray the Lord help us tonight, and I'll bring to you just exactly how I feel like the Lord laid it on our heart. All right. Book of Exodus, chapter 21. I'm going to start reading verse 1. We'll read down about verse number 6. The Bible says it like this. Exodus 21. I don't know what I told you, but that's where I'm going to be. Exodus 21. I'm going to start reading verse number 1, and I'm going to read down about verse number 6. Try to be mindful. Let these men have as much time as they need to mind the Lord. Bible says, now these are the judgments with which thou shalt set before them, that if thou buy a Hebrew servant 6 years, he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself, and if he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. And if his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him to the judges. He shall bring him to the door, under the doorpost, and his master shall bore his his ear through with and all. He shall serve him forever. Heavenly Father, we bow our head before you one more time. And God, I do thank you tonight for just letting us be in the house of God. I thank you for the sweet presence of the Holy Ghost. I thank you, God, for stirring our hearts all day long. And to God, as we just tried to reflect back, oh God, oh, where you would be at through this Passion Week. And I'm mindful that, God, that all those years ago, how the fullness of time came forth, how, Lord, you sent forth your Son, and to God, he's getting ready to die on the cross for our sin. And Father, I pray tonight, and Lord, you'd help us to honor you above all things. And to God, may we do, and Lord, what you'd have us to do, preach what you'd have us to preach, and God, say what you'd have us to say. I pray, God, you'd put a guard at my mouth and not say one word beyond what you'd have for me. And Lord, I love you tonight. Ask you, God, to help me, Lord. And certainly we need you. In Christ's name I do pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I mean, friend, right in the middle of this passage, how many of you no doubt familiar with this text and one of them blessed passages in all your Bible? And essentially what we have transpired in a nutshell is if a fellow was to ever find himself in a place of death, whether it be because he voluntarily put himself there, whether he got there because of death, however what the case may be, he finds himself in that place. And God had provided laws. Matter of fact, there's two sets of laws provided. The first says his. It said for 6 years he had to serve. But thank God on that Sabbath year, he got to go out free for nothing. In other words, he was no longer under bondage. And listen, and even better than that, if they served 49 years, even if you was a stranger, on that 50th year, they'd rear back and they'd blow the trumpet. It was the year of Jubilee. And everybody got to go free. And so listen, friend, here's exactly how it happened. He'd have to serve for a very long time. But on that seventh year, according to the law, he got to go out free. Whatever he brought in, he got to take back out. If he brought in sons and daughters when he left, he got to take out sons and daughters. But ever what he got, and when he was in that place, ever what he earned, and when he was down in that shape, ever what it was, brother man, he got to go out free, but they had to stay put unless something happened. You know the story here says it like this. And the Lord had put a voluntary catch in there. And I'm going to give you three things out of this passage of scripture. And the voluntary text said this. It said that if there was a time and he would look at his master, look at his wife, and look at his children and declare plainly that he loved them, and then they would take him to the door and they would put a awl out and they'd put a hole in his ear. And thank God from that point forward, hey, listen, he had to remain bound unto his master. I got to thinking about this. I want you to hear me. Can you imagine? Let me just, for a little while, can you just imagine? Maybe that'd be a time, Brother Dustin, I don't know this feller here, but maybe that'd be a time that him and his wife get in an argument, and they'd sit down, Brother Matt, and get ready to get around that dinner table, and no doubt they'd been quarreling at times, but I'm going to tell you something, brother, she never had to wonder whether that man loved her. Amen. There was never a time. That was an eternal binding with which he had bound himself to that master because of that. And no doubt they would be tied. And then his little kids get raised up. And they'd get to wondering, did their daddy love them? Oh, listen, friend. And just see that mama look over and to say, look here. And just look up there at the hole in your dad's ear. If you ever want to know how much he loves you, if you ever want to know how much he cares for you, just look up yonder. And there's a hole in his ear. And when he could have went out free, he said, I believe I'll just stay. Amen. If the Lord help me, I'd like to preach on this all tonight. And because he loved me. Amen. And because he loved me. I'll give you three things out of this, and I'll be done. I want you to notice the first thing. It's because he loved me. I've heard the words that he said. Here's what the Bible said in verse number 5. He said, if the master or if the servant shall say plainly. Oh boy, I like that. Amen. Hey, thank God. He said, if he should say plainly, I want you to listen, friend. There's a lot of folks that I wonder whether they love me, but I've never had to doubt, hey, Jay, whether it was the Lord. Amen. The Bible said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friend. He said it pretty plain, didn't he? Amen. Oh, listen, friend. I mean, over and over in the scripture, time and time again, one of our favorite verses, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He said it pretty plain, amen. And thank God we love him because he first loved us. That's pretty plain. I mean, wherever it finds you, whatever shape you in, I'm glad there are words that says how much he really does love us, amen. Oh, listen, friend, I thought about this. Hey, you remember there on the cross of Calvary, and when he's on that place, let me just pray for us. And when he's on Calvary, hey, you understand, they've stretched him out. I don't know if you know it or not, but this part of the cross right here is called the patibulum. And this part right here is called the stipend. And this part right here weighed between 80 and 125 pounds. This is the part they'd carry. This part right here, it'd stay fixed. And they'd tear them up. And they'd put them on that old patibulum. And they'd go carrying that thing throughout the city, about 650 yards. At the very least outside, when they got up there on that thing, and Brother Bill crept to this, stretch them out, and whenever they'd fix up, and those arms would hang down, and they'd be in a permanent state of inspiration. In other words, their lungs would not exhale. And if they wanted to take a breath, if they wanted to say something, and they had to put that pressure down. Oh, listen, on them arms, and raise themselves up, and get just enough hair. And on 7 different occasions on the cross, he said something plainly. That's a blessing to you and I today. Boy, I like the first. Praise God, praise God. I like that first thing that he said. That may be one of my favorite sayings. And when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I got to reading this one time, and it said that right in between them bones right there, that there's a median nerve. And it said to hit that nerve, it said every time that it would fire, it would feel like a burning fire running through their arms. And every time he had to say something, every time he had to say something for us, Brother Peel, he knew how much it was going to hurt. But I'm going to tell you, Jordan Potter, thank God, every time he had put that arms down, he was saying plainly how much he loved us. Amen. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then thank God that second saying on the cross, and he looked over at the thief, and he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Oh, listen, he's not standing like you and I. I mean, when he does that, it comes out of great pain. And that third saying on the cross, and when he looks at John the Beloved, and he says, behold thy mother, and he looks at his mother and says, behold thy son. Oh, that's a good mare. What about that fourth saying on the cross? And Miss Irene, when the Lord found out what it was like, had to be forsaken, and like nobody's ever been forsaken on the cross of Calvary, he raised himself up and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And boy, that dark side of the cross, and for 3 hours the Lord Jesus Christ has suffered like nobody has ever suffered. Endured the dark side of the hell. His soul was turned over unto the demons. And my friend, I'm telling you, every dark thing that could, and his father had his back turned to him. But bless God, at the end of that 3 hours, he raised himself up one more time, and he cried out, it is finished. Amen. I mean, he said plainly, thank God. Oh, listen, friend, I'm glad the law's finished. I'm glad death's finished. I'm glad the devil's finished. I'm glad the debt's paid for. I thank God. I mean, what he said it plainly. Amen. Oh, listen to that last one. I want to say in that last one was, whatever the Bible said, that he bowed bowed his head and he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Oh, listen, friend. You know what he done then? And the first said, he addressed him as a father. And then Preacher Savage, when he said, my God, he went in as a sacrifice. And when he came out the other side and he said, it's finished, he said so as a king. But whenever he finished her up, he went back to his son and he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. I'm telling you, his words say plainly how much he loves us. Amen. And listen, don't you can doubt a lot of things, thank God. How you can go through a lot of things in this world. But I'm telling you, I'd point you to Calvary and point you to what he said and say it's very plain. And that his words say how much he loves us. Amen. Oh, listen, let me say this to you. Not only how much his words say it, but how much his wounds say it. I mean, here's the Bible said this. I already sort of said that a little bit. But the Bible said after he had done that, I love my wife. I mean, I'll just love the whole thing that he says. This is what he said, and this is the order he says it. And Nathaniel, he said, number one, I love my master. Hey, now look here, listen to me, friend. Everything that happened on Calvary happened first and foremost to satisfy God. And then everything else, we're beneficiaries of it as a result. He said, I love my master. And then secondly, he said, I love my wife. And then thirdly, he said, I love my children. Amen. Oh boy, I like that. Amen. I mean, listen, friend. If your husband took a bullet for you, or your wife took a bullet for you, you wouldn't have to wonder how much they loved you. It'd be holes and say it. And so the second thing is the word. That's what it said that do to him. What's your Bible? And the word of God said, if he said that, he said, then his master shall bring him unto the judges, and he shall also bring him to the door, or to the doorpost, and it says his master shall bore his ear through with and all, and he shall serve him forever. I'll tell you the same thing we find here, that because he loved me, every wound that you see the Lord Jesus Christ, I mean every wound that he endured it all because he loved you. And I look here way before he ever got there, I mean way before he ever got to the cross of Calvary, and the Lord Jesus Christ had endured all kinds of wounds. And let's go all the way back. I mean, you just stay with me, all right? But all the way back in the Garden of Gethsemane, and whenever the Bible said in Luke 22, he said, whenever he being in an agony, he began to pray until his sweat became, as it were, great drops of blood. And listen, I was reading about this. Medical science has a name for what it is. They call it hemohidrosis. And that doesn't really do it. But essentially, see, what that means is this, as he became under such an agony, and that all the capillaries in his body began to burst until blood began to ooze out of his body. I read this, it said, that's happened to a few other people. That's not so, Brother Doug. Ain't nobody ever suffered like he suffered. I mean, the way he suffered, ain't nobody ever could. But it said on the people they knew that it happened to, it said that it made their skin so tender that even to touch it was excruciating pain. And I thought, listen, before anybody laid the first hand on him, before anybody, Lori, had ever touched him, before anybody ever plucked the beard from his face, before anybody ever done any of that stuff, Brother Doug, he was already in excruciating pain. And I want you to hear me. And he done it to himself. Amen. I'll tell you what he done it for. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was praying over sin. He was praying over the cup he had to drink. And Davis, he is a praying. Hey, he is a praying over the saints in John 17. And all of that praying, he is a doing. It just broke all that down. And then I got reading this. It said that whenever he got done, hey, let him up out there, you remember? And whenever he's in Annas and Caiaphas and all that, Brother Nathaniel, it said they brought him out there. And it said that they smote him and they spit on him and they began to mock him. They put a purple robe on him and they kneeled and they said, Hail, a King of the Jews. And I don't know, Miss Bethews are talking about it. I mean, you know, every time that somebody done that, and Brother Donnie, before they smote him, he knew it was coming. He's not like me and you, you understand? I mean, he is a very God in flesh. He knew who was going to do it. He knew when it was going to come. If he wanted to duck, he could have ducked every blow. If he wanted to back up, he could have backed up. If he wanted to call 12 legions of angels, he could have. If he wanted to listen, friend, if he wanted just to speak the words and everybody be done, everybody be damned, have the whole thing be done, have the whole thing be damned, and him go back up into heaven. If he wanted to do that, he could. But he stood right where he stood, and knowing just what was coming, and he done it because he loved me. Amen. And listen, friend, on the cross that day, I mean, they take him, then you understand, and they take him up, and they deliver him the Bible. This is as bad as it says at Johann in the Bible. It said, and they scourged him. And that's as bad as it says at Brother Kyle. It says, and they scourged him. And they say, man, I'm telling you, friend, that word don't even begin to describe what they done to the Lord Jesus Christ. I read this and said that, and the Romans, the way they would do it, and so they would tie them up and spread them out tight and strip them down naked, and they'd have lictors. That's what they was called. And literally the only thing they did, and the only thing they done day after day, is they had perfected, taken a little flagellum and had sheep bones in it and had iron balls in it, and they'd take time about and they'd whip them in a manner how that it would cause flesh to tear apart. I want you to listen to me, friend. I'm somewhere along the line they start talking about how that he received 39 lashes. How you'll not never find that in the Bible. And that was a Jewish law. It was not the Roman law. Under Roman law, they could whip them till they got tired. I'll tell you how much they whipped him. I want you to listen to me. Are you listening? I'll tell you how much they whipped him. In Psalms 22, he said, I may tell my bones, for they stare at me. I'll tell you how bad they whipped the Lord Jesus Christ. You ever doubt God loves you? Ever doubt that God loves sinners the way he does? All you got to do is look at his back. He said, boy, he gave his back to the smiters, and he gave his beard to them that plucked it. And the word of God said that they have made long their furrows. In other words, and the terminology they're using, as if they set a plow down on his back and just begin to tear the flesh away. And the word of God teaches like this. And whenever he turned around to look at it, they tore so much flesh that his bones were staring at him. In Psalms 22 again, he said that he was melted like wax, and all his bones were out of place. In other words, it's out of their joints. I'm just simply saying this. Hey, you don't have to take my word for it. Ain't got to take Nathaniel's word for it. Ain't got to take Ty's word for it. Ain't got to take no preacher's word for it. The wounds themselves ought to tell you that he loves you. Amen. Amen. The wounds. Oh, listen. And that's not even the end. They tore his back up. I didn't listen. They said that the way they liked to do it, Brother Bobby, when I was reading about it. This is from Pliny the Younger and Josephus and some of them. They said the way they liked to do it shows, as they said, they liked to wrap it around so they'd come all the way across the front of them. And every time they'd pull back. And this is what it said. It said most of the time that the Roman guards, the Roman centurions, were so skilled at what they did that most people never did survive their scourging. And yet, friend, listen to me. I don't know how much blood he lost right there, but it was not in the design of God that they should take his life. And they could have started beating him then, and they could still be beating him today. He could have lost, whatever he said, 6 quarts of blood, and could have lost 6 quarts more, and could have kept on losing it. But I'm telling you, thank God, he was God in the flesh, and no man took his life. He laid it down. Amen. And there's no power on earth, and no power in hell that's strong enough to take the life of God. And when he laid his life down, it was a testimony to us how much he loved us. Amen. Because he loved us. They put him up on the cross. They put that old crown of thorns, shoved it down on his head, smacked him. I believe this, Brother Cliff. I believe even those three little bones on the inside of his ear was out of place. I'll tell you what the Bible says about it. You've heard me say this many times. His visage was so marred more than any man. That means that whenever they got done whipping him, Jonah, he did not even look like a man. You know what he says about himself, Justin, in Psalms 22, when he's talking about what's going to happen? You know what he says about himself? He said, I am a worm and no man. You got wondering, listen, I'm talking about why we do what we do. You get to going through some stuff and get to wondering if the Lord loves you. Boy, you ain't got to look no further. Look no further. They put him up on that cross and they pierced him in his hands. They pierced him in his feet. You know one of the things that's a wonder to me, Brother Rick, is that whenever they drove those spikes, had the Lord made the wrists the way he made them and made all those carpal bones the way he made them. So this is what they said. They said you could drive a nail right down the middle of it and it would push the bones out of the way, but it wouldn't break one. That's a blessing, Jesse. What makes it a blessing is the Lord Jesus Christ said, not a bone be broke. Not a bone. And right there in his foot, right in the middle of it, Gavin, I'm trying to communicate the best I can what it was the Lord suffered. But I asked myself this, Joe, I asked myself, whenever right there in the middle of his foot where they'd drive that spike, Brother Delma, there's a peroneal nerve. And between that peroneal nerve and that median nerve, so those are the two most painful nerves in your body to sever. Now, Nathaniel, I had to ask myself this question. Why would the Lord, when he designed mankind, why wouldn't he just move that just a little bit and ease his suffering just a little bit? He didn't have to do that. But Kelsey, when he designed his own self, he put those nerves right where he put them so that there'd be no question of how much pain he endured on the cross. And friend, that's why whenever the Bible says in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is now set down to right hand of the throne of God, and said, for consider him and endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds, for ye have not yet resisted unto blood. Amen. Done all that because he loved us. His word says he loved us. His wound says he loves us. But you know what I thought about, what makes me real happy about this servant? His whereabouts. His whereabouts. That fella could have left his wife, could have left his children, and could have went on and done whatever he wanted to do. But boy, whenever he got them holes, that told him how much he loved them, that he was going to come home with them. Are y'all listening to me? Them wounds in his hand, them wounds in his feet, them wounds in his side, wounds on his head. There's five of them, just in case you want to know. Hey, man, by the grace of God, he suffered what he suffered. But Brother Cliff, he could have went anywhere he wanted to go. He even told him so. He said, think I cannot now presently call for my Father, him send more than 12 legions of angels. On the cross, when he got up there, all he had to do was say the word. And he'd went back to heaven, and you and I'd have went to hell. And we wouldn't have had no hope. He'd have went to heaven, and they'd have said, holy, holy, holy. And we'd have went to hell, and we'd been screaming in agony. And when he went to heaven, he'd have went so justly. And when we went to hell, we'd have went so justly. But his whereabouts says how much he loves us. Brother Ty, this don't do nothing for nobody I know. Brother Mike, it sure helps me. Then in the book of Hebrews chapter 13, when he could have suffered anywhere he wanted to, the Bible said he suffered without the gate. He didn't suffer inside the temple where only Jews could get to him. Evan, he suffered without the gate, son. He suffered out there where all them Gentile dogs could get to where he was at. And after he died, rose up on the third and appointed day, I'll tell you how much he loved us. He's been going home with me ever since I got born again. Amen. Amen. He could have stayed up in heaven. He said, thank God. He said, it's expedient that I should go away. He said, if I go not away, the comforter will not come. But thank God on that Acts chapter number 1, whenever he's getting ready to go up, he breathes on him and he said, receive ye of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hey, listen, that's not one-third God, you understand. That's God in the Spirit that dwells in our bodies. Amen. I'll tell you how much he loves us. He loves us so much that whenever he died and resurrected, he chose to abide on us on the inside. He'd been going home with us. And you can say whatever you want to say. I'm just telling you three things. It'd be hard, Brother Dustin, for Allison to think that I loved her if I never went home. Don't you think that's right? If I never, Brother Gavin, I don't know how long you could convince Casey that you loved her if every single night you went and stayed somewhere else. And look here. I'm not one of them that think that only your actions ought to do the talk. I think they ought to hear it. You put all three of them together, Hannah. You put the words and the wounds and the whereabouts together. Whoever it is that looks at the Lord sees them wounds in his hand, wounds in his side. We've got to know tonight, he done all that because he loved us. Because he loved us. And we're getting ready to go take part in communion. I've cleared my heart. That's all I feel like the Lord wanted me to say. I did the best I could. Mind the Lord. I'm going to read to you just a little bit out of 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. And I'm going to turn it over to Brother Ty. We'll get ready to receive. To receive this, just in a time, 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. I'm going to read this out of verse number 20, 27. Verse number 27. Strong language as you'll find in your King James Bible. It says, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread, drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Now again, listen to me. There ain't nobody in here, especially after we talk about what the Lord just endured for us. There ain't a soul in this room, I would not think, AJ, that would say, man, I was worth that. Not a one of us. And if you do, there's something wrong. There ain't one of us that probably think that. We look at what he done and we think, man, I don't know why he'd do that for me. And I don't know why either, but I'm sure glad he did. That's not what it's talking about right here, Jesse. The only thing that makes you worthy to partake is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you've been washed in the blood, you're worthy. And if you ain't, you ain't. That's as plain as it can be. This is what he says. Verse 28, but let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of the bread, drink of the cup. He that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Notice verse 30. He said, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. That's pretty strong language. Do you agree with that? We're going to have a time of examination. Listen, this ain't time for you to examine your neighbor. It's time for us to examine our own selves. Making sure. I think it's good to make sure. Don't you guess that's right? Eternity's a mighty long time for us to just be sort of winging it. Let each examine himself. Allison, come up here and play something. We'll have her come play. Let's stand to her feet. Altar's open. I'm gonna be on it. I'd encourage you wherever you pray at, wherever you can get a hold of God at. The question is simply this: before we partake, I don't care if you do it standing up, bowing down, eyes open, eyes closed. However you do it, but while you do it, make sure things are right between you and God. And if they ain't, get them right. Get them right. Go ahead and play some.